Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
All right, so we're going to jump into our message. I'm not going to take up too much time because we have mom lunch to get to. I know everybody's got their special spot picked out, and I hope you already had reservations, because if not, you're in trouble. You're not going to get anywhere today on Mother's Day. It's actually the busiest eating day of the year. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're kicking off a brand new series today here at City Heart Church. It's a brand new series, and it's entitled Crew. We're going to look in the Bible at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look in verse 11. If you have your phone, if you don't have a Bible in hand, you can certainly jump right into the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. You can actually check out our notes there. If you go to the events page and you click, just type in City Heart Church or put in your zip code, and you'll see our notes pull up there, and you can use those to follow along with us here at City Heart during this message and throughout our series. You can certainly continue to look back on those. But here we go, Ephesians 4 and chapter 11, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 says this. It says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers," and I'd add mothers there as well. "Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." And if you have something, stick it in Ephesians chapter 4. We're definitely going to come back to that. We're going to look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We're going to check out two verses here, and then we're going to jump full on into our message. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 says this. Says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." Probably hesitate just a brief moment to pray. Lord, I thank you for this moment, for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for this day that you have created, God, this day that we were able to wake up and rejoice and to be glad in. Lord, I thank you for mothers again, Lord, who've poured out so much love to us, and it's such a reflection of the love that you give to us daily. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as I speak this message, that you would increase in this moment, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me a word that is clarity, a word that is encouraging, a word that is even challenging for us to push forward as we create and are in a crew. Lord, I thank you for this crew that we have, this family that we have here at City Heart Church. And Lord, I thank you that it's one that is growing, it's one that is full of life, it's one that is full of love, and it's one that we all need. And Lord, we give you the glory for this moment. Lord, let your spirit move as I speak. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Now, there's this, I was kind of reading and preparing for this series, and this one kind of thought kept coming back to me, and it's one that you're going to hear throughout this series. But it's one, as I started to think about this concept of crew, that really came to mind. It really kind of just popped out at me, and it's one that as some stuff that we've been going through, even in our own personal lives as a church, and just with stuff going on, that has just stuck out with me, and it's kind of become my little motto for myself. And it's this. It says, we go further when we go together. We go further when we go together. Right? In this season of my life, recognizing in a really loud and kind of apparent way that we need community. Like, we need one another. We need to be together. That, man, this community really is life. It's everything that we need. It's everything. As much as I'm great by myself and I could kind of make it and be good okay by myself most days, that I really, man, I need a community. I need people around me to surround me, and we all need that, right? We all kind of come to the place where, I don't know if you're like me, where you've noticed that, man, we're kind of becoming more and more isolated from one another, where it's really easy to kind of just, man, I'm just going to kind of hang with my crew, the people that act and think and look and vote and kind of live where I live, versus really being the kingdom of God, where we kind of segregate ourselves, we kind of push away the crowd so that we can feel really comfortable, if I'm honest about it. We feel protected, and we feel like, man, I don't necessarily want to get out. I don't necessarily want to push out into anything outside of myself. But here's the problem that I've recognized with that, is that people are going through significant issues in their life, and they're doing it by themselves. We're dealing with stuff that's going on, things and stuff that's debilitating. It's tearing us apart. It's tearing apart our families. It's tearing apart our friendships. It's tearing apart our homes. It's tearing apart our careers. And we're still kind of stuck in this isolationist mode where it's me, I'm by myself, I'm good, I don't need anybody else. You kind of stay all the way over there, and I'm going to stay over here, and we'll be fine. That's kind of where I recognize that we got him. But here's the thing. It's like, this attitude of kind of doing stuff all by myself, it defeats and is really counter to what God has planned for us. If you look throughout his word, God really doesn't do that much. Christ, when he's on earth, doesn't really do that much by himself. There's always a crowd around. There's always just a random 500 people. I don't know where they're coming from, but there's always, like, reading the Bible, there's always like 5,000 people just showed up at Jesus' door. There's 3,000 people, like, just here and there. There's, man, women and children, 5,000 people that showed up to get a chicken or a fish sandwich. Can I just get a fish sandwich, Jesus? You got a little hot sauce, right? They just show up. And that lets you know something, that, you know, that, yeah, there are moments when Christ was alone and he secluded himself and he prayed by himself, but for the most part, there was always somebody around. So it boggles my mind sometimes that, man, we feel like it's okay to be alone. And I'm saying that as a person that likes to be alone. I like solitude. I enjoy it very much. I like to turn off. My wife will tell you, she calls me a vampire sometimes because I want my curtains closed, the blinds closed all the way. I want blackout curtains. I don't want to see no light to peek in. I like it. Just the light in my house, that's fine. I don't want to talk to you. Don't come talk to me. I like to do that. But you know what? I recognize I don't grow when I'm by myself. I'm not challenged when I'm by myself. I don't love as well when I'm by myself. I don't think about others at all when I'm by myself. It's just me, right? And that can create problems for us. I know, man, when I was growing up, when I was younger, when I was in my 20s and stuff, I was like, yes, I had my own place, I had my own car, I was doing great, I had a good job, I was good, I didn't need anything else. Then along came wife, and she messed it all up. No, I'm playing. Man, she came along, and I realized there was some stuff that I thought I was good by myself, and I was like, man, I didn't even know. Nice towels in the bathroom. Who knew? And it was like, man, you know, and she's like, what have you been doing in here? And I'm like, I was by myself. I was happy. I was okay. But I realized that, man, I was alone. I was alone, and I didn't realize how much that I needed somebody else in my life. It's interesting. I love that we started the series on Mother's Day, because if you think about it, our relationship with mom, with our mothers, is really the first time that we ever sense this feeling of community, right? It's the first time that we ever feel it's the first feelings that we get of safety, of security, of protection, right? It comes from our moms. Right, this is the first people that hold us and kind of cradle us and rock us and, okay, baby, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's the person that honestly is the most encouraging. That's why dads get no love on Father's Day. Why? Because everybody's thinking about mama. Everybody's going to where mama is. Right? Everybody's, I just got to see mama on Mother's Day. People fly clear across the country to go see mom. Father's Day, you better hope you get a text. Better hope there's an envelope in the mail. Right? Maybe you get a text. That's about it. Moms, there's flowers and balloons and people going out to dinner, right? Dad gets like a bag of popcorn. All right, have a great day. Why? Because it's what we relate, man. It's that place where we feel confident and secure in, right? Moms make us feel that warm, fuzzy feeling inside. We want that all the time. And you know what it is? That's community. That's community. That's the feeling that we want to have. Being by ourselves is really unhealthy. It's impractical. It's not the way that God desired for his children to be. And it's in those moments when we are by ourselves, when we're facing situations, when we're facing tough stuff that's going on, that community is actually the most needed. That's when we need it the most. It's not in the times when we're okay, and even then you need it. But, man, it's those times when you are going through issues and stuff that seems to just be your life just like, what is going on? Is this just this morning, our keyboardist, why worship sounded a little bit different today, he got into an accident just this morning. And the beautiful thing is, it's like in that moment, we could freak out. But you know what our team did? They just started texting, hey, you okay? Oh, man, I hope you're okay. We had a guy get engaged last night. Man, awesome, great, congratulations. And that's a beautiful thing. It's in those moments, good or bad, where you need community, right? We want to be celebrated. We want to have that time and people around us. I'm at a place where I'm just like, man, I want to get around as many and more people as I can. I want to be able to touch and kind of just affect the lives of as many people as possible, because being alone, man, it's for the birds. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. And I get it. We live in a country society that celebrates kind of independence and isolationism. That's just who we are as a country. Hey, I'm going to put my big fence up right here between my house and your house. Right? Even though all our grass grows the same and your weeds come up under into my yard, man, I'm going to put up this fence to make sure that you have your space and I have mine. But really, our goal should be saying, you know what can I do to tear down this fence so that we can have real relationship and community together? You see it all throughout the Word. And that's why, man, we're going to spend this time talking about crew, about what it is, why it's important to be in a good crew. What is a good crew? And when it comes to your life, why it's so necessary, especially when it comes to your faith. Why do we need a crew? As I said, I had this kind of mantra, this thing that we'll be talking about, says this saying that says, man, we go further when we go together. And it really came from, as I was studying, I saw this African proverb. Now, is anything they can't know where it's come from, it says it's an African proverb. So you never know what it's really from. But it's this African proverb that said this. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Right? If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go further, if you want to go far, go together. It's kind of the difference I see. It's between a speedboat and a cruise ship. Think of it. Think of those two vessels, a speedboat and a cruise ship. A speedboat really can only hold but so many people. A really well-designed one. It's only going to hold one, maybe two, max five or six people. And going that fast, you don't want that many people on it, right? But you're going fast, and you're like, great, I'm by myself. And that's kind of how we are in life. It's kind of like, man, I only want like two or three, a couple people on connected to me. And I'm going to go really fast. I don't need to know anybody. I'm not waving. I'm not going to dinner. I don't want your shrimp, right? I just want to be, man, I want to go fast and get to where I'm going. A cruise ship is much different. Right? Anybody ever been on a cruise? Right? Cruise ship is a whole lot of people that you don't know. A whole lot of people on the boat, and then there's a whole lot of people that work to make the boat actually work. Right? There's a lot of people on a cruise ship, and cruise ships don't go that fast. They actually go kind of slow. That's why your Caribbean cruise, which probably could take, you know, in a speedboat about a half a day, third, you know, to a couple hours, takes about a day and a half to get somewhere. Why? Because cruise ships are slow. They don't go as fast. But you know what they do? They carry a lot more people. So even though I can go fast in my speedboat, man, I can only take but so many people with me. There's only so much that I could of capacity that I have to actually bring some people along with me. When I'm on a cruise ship, I could have thousands and thousands of people. Those Disney cruise ships hold way too many people. They'd be packing them out a little bit too extra, right? But you can take so many people with you, and it kind of shows you why. If you go fast, if you want to go fast, you go alone. But if you want to go far, you go together. I want to go far in my life. in the goals that I have. I want to go far in reaching the things that, man, that the things that God has laid in my heart. I want to really reach for something that is kind of out there. And I recognize in order to get there, I can't do it with just me. If there's some stuff I want to have in my life, if there's some things that I want to achieve, some status and some money, help me, Jesus, and some things, I can't do it just by me. I'm not going to be able to sustain. I need to have some help. There's got to be some people that I can depend on, that I can turn to, that will come alongside and will help me to go further than even what I think I can go. Some people that will just be by my side and help me to take the stuff that I want to do, the things that I have planned in my heart, the dreams that seem crazy, they're going to help me to go far. When I recognize, man, I might be able to go fast, but I'm not going to go far. And that's the thing about a speedboat. A speedboat is going to go really fast, but it's not going to go very far for very long. Eventually, that speedboat, because you're going so fast, is going to run out of gas. And that's where we are a lot of times in life. It's like, man, we're going super fast, and then, man, we conk out. Why? Because we're going so fast, and there's nobody to help us out. The cruise ship can hold so much more gas. It can go much farther than a speedboat can. It might get there a little bit slower, but, man, it's going to actually go even further. So when we think of a crew, it's kind of two definitions that we see. It's two definitions that are kind of that are applicable when you start to think about it. The first one is this. A crew is a group of people who work on and operate a ship. It might be an aircraft. It might be a plane. It might be a train. That's who operates and helps it to make it go. They work on it. The second definition is this. A crew is a group of people who fellowship and support each other. That's a crew. It's a group of people who fellowship and support each other. And really, both definitions really apply. And I want to get preacher corny for about 30 seconds here, right? Really preacher corny, because I want to kind of combine those two things in an acrostic, right? I'm going to get really preacher corny right here for a second. I don't do this too often, right? But here's kind of my working definition of a crew, in an acrostic is this. It's a community that's ready and equipped to work. What's a crew? It's a community that is ready and equipped to work. And that's what we really see here in Ephesians 4:11 that we read, right? It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. He gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists and pastors and teachers and children's workers, help us, Jesus, and people that run programs in it. Thank you, Lord, right? He gave all these people jobs. It wasn't just the title. It was the actual job. It was the actual responsibility of helping, right? And here's what it is. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Man, That's their job. And it says this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Obviously, in that last series that we were teaching in Rooted, you see some similar themes here. The first thing you see is that, what do? You continue. It doesn't just stop when, man, I get this position and now, man, I'm in the church and now I just stop. It's saying, no, continue to pursue, continue to equip, continue to take on that responsibility. We also see in there, man, that there is some maturity that comes as a result of understanding and knowledge being received. Why? Because what we're trying to do is to measure up, to get to the place of fullness, to a standard in Christ that is not done just by ourselves. And here's the thing, when you receive Christ, you inherit a crew. When I build a relationship with God, I'm no longer by myself. I'm a part of something that's much bigger than me. I'm a part of the body of Christ. So, man, I'm adopted into a crew. You join Jesus' gang. Yeah, you're in his crew, right? You are adopted into his crew, the body of Christ. That becomes your crew, and you become a part of the crew. Right, so not only am I being accepted into Jesus' body, this body of him, right? This body of Christ. Not only am I in it, but now I'm a part of the people that help to make it happen, right? I'm a part of the crew, but I also become the crew as well. And so that's why it's so vitally important that we make sure that the church is a place where people are able to find community, right? The church has to be the kind of place where people come in when they walk through the doors that they're able to say, man, you know what? I kind of like it here. This is a place where I can belong to. It's where they're able to find community. They're finding other people ready and equipped to work on what's going on in their lives. Because when people come through that door, they're not going to necessarily essentially think for the first time, hey, what can I do to get to work? They're going to think, man, I've got all these issues and problems and stuff that's going on in my life, and I need some help. Is there anybody here that can help me? That's what happens when people come through these doors for the first time. They're looking for some assistance. They're looking for a place where they can belong, where they can connect, where they can feel like, man, there is something here for me. They want somebody that can help them achieve the dreams that they have, that help them push them to reach the goals that they have in life. So what we do is we say, okay, great. What can we do to help you? What can we do to help you push you along into reaching those goals? What is it that we can do as a church, as a community, to help you reach those things that you're trying to pursue? And while we're at it, how can we help you complete yourself and fully find yourself in the standard that is Christ? So not only are we solving their kind of natural needs, the things that they need kind of helped on in their life, but we're also pulling them in on the spiritual side as well. We're pulling them in on the spiritual side as well. But here's the thing that can happen sometimes when people come to church is that instead of feeling community, what they feel is condemnation. Instead of feeling like, man, this is some place that I belong to, they feel like, hey, this is a place that if you're not dressed a certain way or if you may not know these certain particular church rules, we all know them, right? If you don't know these church rules, that, man, you don't belong here. And you know what happens is that churches for a long time have kind of shunned people away. We've kind of turned into a clique. Where it's like, hey, it's good as long as you look like me, think like me, eat like me, vote like me, smell like me, talk like me, act like me. But if you do anything out of that, nah, this really ain't the place for you. Find somewhere else to go. But here's the thing, that's not the attitude of a crew. It's not what we're supposed to do. But you know what's unfortunate is that honestly has become the expectation of people when they walk in the churches. They're expecting to be rejected. Recognize that. When people come through these doors, they're not expecting a message that's saying, hey, you know what, you belong here. They're expecting that message that say, hey, you know what, you don't belong here. That's wrong. We have to change that. That our attitude has to be, man, who else can I bring in here? Who else belongs here? Man, there's a seat next to me that's empty. That means that there's somebody else that needs to be and hear a message, a life-giving message, something that will encourage them and bring them into a place of God. But you know what? There needs to be some apostles and some pastors and some teachers and some people that are willing to do kids ministry and run Pro Presenter and be on a camera. People that are willing to come in and help set up or do whatever's needed, hospitality, greeting people, so that when those people come through the doors and they come full of needs and they come yearning for something different than what they've experienced before, that there's somebody that's ready to say, man, you know what? I used to be in your position. I came through those doors one day, and I didn't have it all together, and I was messed up and jacked up and full of sin and doing stuff. And you know what? Somebody was there to welcome me with open arms. They were there to welcome me in. They were there to receive me. They were there to do as Christ did, as we see in Romans 15:7. He says to do what? Accept one another. Not E-X-C-E-P-T, A-C-C-E-P-T, accept, bring them in. Right, as a church, we're like, yeah, accept. Anybody except for you? No, accept, bring them in. Say, hey, you're welcome here. You belong here, right? You got stuff going on? Great. We got a whole lot of stuff going on in the church, too, right? You're messed up? Great. We got a whole lot of, look, I know a whole lot of messed up people that's in this church. You'd be perfect, right? That's the attitude we need to say is that, man, come on in. You know what? You're jacked up. Man, we're jacked up too. You're janky. We're a little janky too. You got some issues? We definitely got some people with some issues here. You fit right in. That's the attitude that we should have versus turning people away. And you know why? Just as the word says, because that's what Christ did for us. That's what he did for you. When he went to the cross, he came down and lived this earth, and he lived among us, already knowing the jacked up stuff that we did, already knowing how messed up people are. He said, you know what, man, I'm going to live among you anyway, in spite of that. Man, I'm going to be with you. Man, I know how, man, and just how ratchet. I love Jordan's going to talk about me later. I know just how ratchet you are, how ratchet your family is. But you know what, man, I'm going to come there anyway. It's like going to the barbecue knowing that the auntie that you don't like is going to be there. And you, right, you go anyway. Why? Because you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm going to go because I love her anyway. Man, I'm going to withstand all the crazy questions or the stuff that's going to go on, the bad, you know, potato salad. Man, I'm going to go anyway. I'm just going to love on them. That's what Christ did for us, right? He came in with an attitude. I don't know. I kind of, every once in a while, I feel like, Jesus, why did you do stuff? Because if it was me, I'm just going to be honest. This was me, and I was in heaven. I looked down and saw some of the craziness that we do and how we reject God and how we do stuff in our lives. My attitude wouldn't be like, great, that's good. I'm going to come down and be with you and live among you and die for your sins. My attitude would be, nah, I'm good. Nah, God's talking to Jesus, hey, son, hey, I want you to go down and kind of hang with those people for a little bit, and then you're going to sacrifice yourself for them and all the craziness they do. You know what, Dad? I'm good. I'm all set. I'm sure there's an archangel around here somewhere that can go down and take care of that. I'm all set. Literally, that's, you know, if it was me, thank God for Jesus. Thank God it's not me, right? But that can be our attitude sometimes. We're kind of like, nah, I'm good when people come through the doors. And you can see it on them. You can see the hurt and the pain that they're going through. You can see that they're lost or that they're discouraged or that, man, they've just been through so much. And our attitude isn't, hey, come in. It's kind of, no, I'm good. That's how we treat people sometimes when we come in and we don't create an atmosphere that is conducive to them finding God. That's why we spend so much time in worship. That's why, man, we spend so much time setting up and make sure that every chord is placed right, because we want when people come through the doors that they feel like, man, somebody cared about me enough to spend some time on a Saturday, an hour, to come and put down some chairs for me. Wow. That's amazing. They cared enough about me to get some Krispy Kreme donuts this morning. Thank you, Jesus, and put them out there so that I could have just a little bit of sweetness before the service. Wow, that's amazing. Man, when I walked in the bathroom, they had mints in there, so my breath didn't stink when I came out the bathroom. Wow, they cared that much to do that for me. That's amazing. That's the attitude that says, man, you are welcome here. That's why Jesus, he tells us, he encourages us in Romans 15, 5 and 7. He says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement, because that's what you're going to need for people when they come in and they're not like you and they don't look like you and they don't think like you. You're going to need some endurance and you're going to need some encouragement and you're going to need to do the same for them. You're going to need to endure what they're going through and be able to offer encouragement. But he says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind. He's saying, man, I need to give that to you as well toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind, so that we all get on the same page and with one voice, that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ by doing what? Accepting one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you, he did it for you in order to bring praise to God. The church should be a place where we find community. It's where we find our crew. It's where we find connection. The church should also be a place where I actively participate in building the crew, where I actively participate in creating community. It's all of our job is to create community, to create a place where people can come in and feel like, man, I can be here. How do I do that? How do we do that as Christians? How do we create community? How do we do that? We use our gifts. We use our talents. We use the things that God has placed within us to be a blessing to somebody else. We have to do some work. We can't just kind of sit around while everybody else is doing. Man, you got to take a row, an oar, stick it in the water, and row, right? If we're a crew, we're a big old cruise ship, and what happens if the engine goes down? You know what? Somebody's going to have to pick up an oar, go ahead and stick it in the water, and you row. That's how we did it before there were, you know, engineering, before there were engines and boats. They had to row. You had to put in some work on yourself, and everybody had to do it so that we could all get to the same destination together. Not by ourselves. We had to do it together. We had to do some work. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. He gave us the gifts and talents that you have. And you might feel like, well, man, I'm not a prophet. Man, I don't have the title of pastor. I told y'all last year, I'm calling everybody to ministry. You're called to ministry. You all are. If you walk in those doors, if you ever sat down, if you gave ever in City Heart Church, you have ministered, right? Because what you've done has gone to bless somebody. If you've ever volunteered, you have ministered. You have pastored. You have cared for people. You know what pastoring is? It's caring about people. Really? That's about all it is. It's saying, man, I'm going to get outside of myself to be a blessing to somebody else, to pour into their lives. If you text somebody an encouraging word, you are pastoring them. You're bringing them along. If you're saying, hey, man, look at this scripture that I saw, you are pastoring them. If you're speaking into their lives, you're speaking a prophetic word. Man, I know that you've been praying for this job, and I just believe that, man, that God's going to make a way. That's a prophecy for somebody. You're helping them to see something different. If you all of you really are apostles because you're helping to build the church. You're building this church. So you all have gifts, but we also have a responsibility to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Use your gifts and talents to serve. We have one of our core values here is we live to serve. There's nobody gets to sit on the bench. That as a church, man, we're all going to jump in to serve. Why? Because there's more blessing in doing than it is to kind of sit on the sidelines. We're all kind of eager to get into the game. Hey, coach, put me in. Hey, coach, put me in the game. What is it that I can do? What is it that I can contribute? Why? So that we can build the church so that more people can know about God and find a place where they can come in and find a home with him. That's our purpose. Every good crew has a purpose. How do I know that I'm a part of a good crew? That crew has a purpose. That's how we know. Our purpose as a crew is to continue to build the crew. That is it. Well, Pastor Kevin, where's the word say that? Let me show you. Matthew 28:19-20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is it saying there? Build the crew. That's our purpose, is to continue to build the crew, not necessarily so that they come to City Heart Church, but that they're even just in the body of Christ, that we're continuing to help people to find out who they are in Christ, to let them know that, you know what, God loves you. Man, I've got some good news for you. That God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins, and that the stuff that you've done in the past, man, if once you give your life to him, that he wipes that stuff away. That's the gospel. That's the good news. We're called to go and share that and bring people into a place where they can do what? Be in a community. Be in a place where they can feel welcome, that they can begin to experience God for themselves. And look what else he says here. He says, man, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Show them what the crew is all about. Man, show them, hey, here's what we do here. Here's some of our core values as a church. Man, here's some of the things that help me get along and help me improve my life in God. We're supposed to teach them the same stuff that we've been taught. And the last thing I love, and it shows just what community is, just what crew is. He said, Lord is saying here, I am with you always. A crew is with you, right? You always hear the kind of statement, man, that's my ride or die. That's my ride or die. These are people that, man, through anything, man, they're going to be with me. They're going to connect with me. They're going to protect me. They're going to love me. Man, these are the people that I want to be around. That's what this is. God is saying, man, you know what? You're in my crew, and I'm not leaving you. When you're hurt and you're broken and you're heartbroken and you're going through stuff, man, I'm going to be with you to the very end. That's what we're saying to people, man. As you go through life and you may experience death, you may experience divorce, you may experience loss in your life, you may experience, man, just accidents that happen, man, at random times, that we're not going to abandon you, that we're going to be there for you. That's what a crew does. Our purpose is to continue to build the church, continue to build the lives of people. Here's why it's important, because as I help fulfill the purpose of the crew, I gain fulfillment and I gain community from that crew, right? So as I do my part to pitch in and make sure and continue to build the crew to make sure the ship can run, you know what? I gain the stuff that I'm even in need of myself. I gain encouragement, right? I gain somebody that can lift up my arms, that can get beside me and say, you know what, you can make it. Man, you don't give up yet. Man, you're going to get that job. You're going to get that house. Man, you're going to find that person. Man, that's what we gain from being a part of a crew. It's something that I desire. We all desire community. I don't want to go by myself. I don't want to just go fast through life. I want to go far in life. I want to go beyond what even I can imagine. I want to go further. And the only way we can do that is if we do it together. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.